Today's shir is a Masechta Tamid on Daf Chav Zayin. We will begin in the middle of the third line from the top of the Amid with the words Tnan Hasam. Our Gemara quotes a Mishnah in Masechta Midos, Perik Aleph, Mishnah Aleph. And what's interesting to note is that the Mishnah there begins identically the same as the Mishnah that we had at the beginning of our Masechta, Masechta's Tamid on Daf Chav Hey Amid Beis. It begins with the word Bishloisha Mekaimis HaKohanim Shoimrim Beis HaMikdash. The Kohanim guard in three places in the Beis HaMikdash, exactly the way our Mishnah on Chaf Hei Amud Beis began. And then it enumerates the same places, Beis Aftinas. As we learned at the beginning of this Masechta, Beis Aftinas was the place named after the head of the family who knew how to make the smoke from the ketores rise in a straight formation. So that chamber was called the Beis Aftinas, and that's where the one koyin was shomer. And the second place is the Beis Hanitzutz, the chamber of the ray. As we learned in yesterday's shir, this was a pavilion or gazebo which was open from one side, so the rays of the sun were able to shine into that area, and that's why it was called the Chamber of the Ray. And finally, the third place was Bebeis Hamoikid. As we learned, that's where there was a fire, which had various purposes, and the Kohanim used to sleep in the Beis Hamoikid as they prepared to do the Avodah the next day in the Beis HaMikdash. But then the Mishnah in Midos continues, V'halavim b'chof alf mekaymus. The Levim were guarding the Beis HaMikdash in 21 places. We had a shaila yesterday when we learned the Gemara, whether in our Mishnah were goyres on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis, also these words, V'halavim b'chof alf mekaymus. But even according to those who have the gears in our Mishnah, that the Levim were guarding in 21 places, our Mishnah certainly does not enumerate where those 21 places were. The Mishnah in Midos does enumerate. Before we see exactly the breakdown of the 21 places where the Levim were shomer, there is a three-way machlokas exactly how many places were guarded together by the Kohanim and the Levim. Was it 24 places? Was it 21 places? The Rush, his opinion is that in three places, the Kohanim guarded together with the Levim. The main Shimur guarding came from the Kohanim, but the Levim, in a secondary role, also guarded in those very same three places. Since they were in the secondary role, they're not mentioned. The Kohen is mentioned primarily in those three places, but actually three of the 21 places of the Levim were in the same place as the Kohanim. The sheet of Rabbeinu Tam, which the Rush brings, is that he agrees with the Rush that in the three places the Kohanim and the Levim guarded, but what he differs with the Rush is that according to the Rush, there were only 18 other places where the Levim guarded. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there were 21 other places. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there were a total of 24 places that were guarded throughout the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, we have the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perik Ches Halacha Dalid. His opinion is that in the three places where the Kohanim guarded, it was only the Kohanim, not the Levim. And in the 21 places where the Levim guarded there, it was only the Levim and not the Kohanim. So he agrees with Rabbeinu Tam that there were 24 places, not like the Rush, there were 21 altogether. But he disagrees that the three places, the Rabbeinu Tam says, were a joint effort between Kohen and Levi. According to the Rambam, it was only Kohanim, and in the other 21 places, it was only Levim. We will follow the Shita of the Rush, that the total was 21. In the three places, the Kohanim and Levim were together, and in the other 18, the Levim were all by themselves. Another interesting machlokas that comes out from this three-way argument between the Rush, Rabbeinu Tam, and the Rambam is how many Shomrim there were. Because according to the Rush, there are 21 places, but there are 24 Shomrim. because in three of the places there was both a Kohen and a Levi. That makes six, plus 18 other places where there were only Levim. That gives you a total of 24 Shomrim. According to Rabbeinu Tam, there were 24 places and 27 Shomrim, because there were 21 places where the Levi was alone, and there were three places where there was a Kohen and a Levi. 21 and 6 is 27. And finally, according to the Rambam, where there was only one Kohen or one Levi in each place, there was a total of 24 places and 24 Shomrim. So it comes out that according to Rabbeinu Tam, he has the most Shomrim, which is 27. And now we're going to enumerate what those additional 18 places are. Hey, al hey share harabayis, five. There were five guards of the Levium guarding the five gates, which were entrances to the harabayis. And the Mishnah in Midos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel, enumerates what those five places were. On the southern side of the Temple Mount, the Har HaBayis, there were the two gates of Chulda. On the western side, there was Shar Kiponos. On the northern side, there was Shar Tadi. And on the eastern side, there was Shar HaMizrahi. Continues the Mishnah, Dalet al Dalet Pinoisav Mibifnim. There were four Levim that were stationed at the four corners of the Har HaBayis, but they were inside the walls of the Har HaBayis and not outside. Hey, al hey Shari Azorah. There were five Levim stationed by the five gates of the Azorah. Vidalid al Dalet Pinoisav Mibachutz. And there were four stationed at the four corners of the Azorah outside the walls of the Azorah. The Gemara later will explain why, when it came to the Har HaBayis, both the gates and the corners, there we say that the Levim were stationed mibifnim. Whereas when it came to the Azorah, both the gates of the Azorah and the four corners, there the Levim were stationed outside of the Azorah. Now, when it says here in the Mishnah that there were five gates of the Azorah where the Levim were stationed, really, we find in Masechet Midos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet and Hey, that there were actually seven gates to the Azorah. On the northern side, you had three gates, the Shar HaNitzutz, which was the gate of the Rei. You had Shar HaKorban. You had also the Beis HaMoked. In the east, you had the Shar Niknor. In the south, you had the Shar HaDelek, which was the kindling gate where they used things to make a fire. You had the Shar HaKorban, and you had the Shar HaMayim. So there were actually seven. Why do we count only five over here? So the Rush brings from the Gemara further, because the Shar HaKorban, both in the north and the south, there was no guard there. Why? Because the Shar HaKorban on the north was between the Shar HaNitzutz and the Beis HaMoked. On the south, the Shar HaKorban was in between the Shar HaDelek and the Shar HaMayim, and that's why there was no guard there, because the guards at the two extremities, both in the north and the south, could keep an eye on the Shar HaKorban, which was in the middle. We mentioned before that according to the Rush, besides the three places where the Kohanim were Shomer, the Levim were Shomer in 18 other places, for a total of 21 places. If we count up how many places are enumerated here in the Mishnah for where the Levim Shimmer was, we already come to the number 18, because we mentioned nine on the Har HaBayis, five by the gates and four by the corners, and we mentioned nine by the Azorah, five by the gates and four by the corners. So we have a total of 18. So it should be that according to the Rush, we should stop right here. And yet the Mishnah there, as we'll soon see, goes on to list another three places. So how will the Rush understand the enumeration here of 21 places besides the three places of the Kohanim? That would seem to indicate that the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam are right, that there are 24 places. The answer to this is that three of the places that we've mentioned up until this point really overlap with the three places of the Kohanim. So we've only learned really 15 new places for the Levim. Where do you find the three that overlap? So one of them was the Shar Hanitzus, because that was together with the Beis Hanitzus. You had a Kohen upstairs in the Aliyah guarding, and you had a Levi downstairs by the gate guarding. Then the Beis HaMoked was one of the places where the Kohen was guarding, but that is also one of the five gates of the Azorah, because the gates of the Beis HaMoked, one went into the Har HaBayis, the Temple Mount, and the other one went into the Azorah. And finally, the Beis Aftinus was near one of the corners of the Azorah, where the Levim were also guarding. And therefore, three of the 18 that we've just mentioned are really synonymous with the three places that the Kohen was guarding. And actually, in all of these three places, the main role was by the Kohen, and as we've mentioned before, and the Levi was secondary. By the Shar HaNitzutz, that was simple, because the Kohen was upstairs in the Aliyah, the Levi was downstairs by the gate on the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. By the Beis HaMoked, the Kohen would be inside the Beis HaMoked, whereas the Levi would be outside the Beis HaMoked on the Har HaBayis. And finally, in the Beis Aftinus, so there the Kohen was inside the Beis Aftinus, and the Levi was next to him in the corner of the Azorah. So he was close by, but he wasn't as important as the Kohen, who was actually in the Beis Aftinus itself. So therefore, according to the Rush, although we've mentioned here 18 places already where the Levim were, but actually it's only 15, because three of those 18 places overlapped with the Kohen, as the Rush Hashita is, that the three places where the Kohanim were, there were also Levim in close proximity, and that's all counted as being the same three places as were mentioned for the Kohanim. And that's why the Gemara now is going to have to tell us another three places where there were Levim without any Kohanim whatsoever. Concludes the Mishnah with the final three places where the Levim were Shomer. Echad b'lishkas ha-karbon. The Rush in his first pshat says that this refers to the lishkas ha-tloim, the chamber of the sheep, that was one of the four lishkois that were in the Beis HaMoked. Ve'echad belishkas haperoches, and one Levi was stationed in the chamber where they wove the peroches. The Rishash points out that this is the only reference to this lishka, and we are not told anywhere the exact location of the lishkas haperoches. Ve'echad achorei beis hakaporos, and one Levi, the final Levi, the 18th Levi, as we explained before, according to the Rush, this is the 18th place where there were Levim besides the three Levim who were together with the Kohanim. The Echad Achari Beis HaKaporis, this final Levi, was behind the Kotche HaKadoshim. The Kotche HaKadoshim is referred to as the house of the Kaporis, the cover of the Ark. It's not referred to as Beis HaAron, the house of the Ark itself, because the Kedusha of the Kotche HaKadoshim came from the Shechinah. And as the Pasuk tells us, that the Ribbono Shel Olam HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Me'al HaKaporis. So the manifestation of the Shechinah, which brought about the Kedusha of the Kotche HaKadoshim, was depicted in the Torah as being above the Ark cover, above the Kaporis, and that's why the Kotche HaKadoshim is referred to as the Beis HaKaporis. So now the Gemara begins, Minohani Mili. From where do we know all these different places where the Levim were Shomer? What's the Makor, the Pasuk for this? Amar Rav Yehuda Misura, Rav Yehuda Misura said, Va'amr lo and samsei b'masnita tana, that we learned it in a Braisa, d'chsiv, we know it from a Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim, Aleph, Perek, Chavav, Psukim, Yud Zayin, and Yud Ches. And even though the Rush speaks out, this Pasuk is speaking about Migdash Rishain, the locations where the Levim were Shomer did not change in Migdash Sheni as well. So the first part of the Pasuk states, Tichsiv, it's written in the Pasuk, L'mizrach ha-Levim Shisha. There were six Levim to the east of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rush explains, because there were two Levim at each corner of the eastern part of the Har HaBayis. There were two Levim at each corner of the eastern part of the Azara. That's already four. Then there was a Levi at the Shar HaMizrach entering into the Har HaBayis, and then there was a Levi entering into the Shar HaNikner, which entered into the Azara. So there was a total of six Levim. The Shar HaNikner was on the eastern side of the Azara, so there was a total of six Levim on the eastern side. Let's find it to the northern side of the Beis HaMikdash. The way we have the Girsa is Levim Arba, there were four Levim. Lenegba, to the southern side, Levim Arba, there were four Levim. However, the Shita tells us that the correct Girsa, the words of the Pasuk, are Litzvona Leyom Arba, facing the sun from the northern side of the Beis HaMikdash, facing the sun, there were four Levim. In other words, they had to face in an easterly direction from where the sun came up, and Lenegba in the south, again, Liyoim Arba, facing in an easterly direction, there were four Levim. Why did they have to face an easterly direction, even though they were standing to the north or to the south? Either it's Xeris HaKosov, or there's a reason, because they were always facing the entrance which was most frequented to come into the Azor, and that was the Shar HaNiknor, which we learned before was on the eastern side of the Azora, and that's where the most traffic came in, and that's why wherever they were standing, they had to face towards the Mizrach. The Rush tells us what were the four to the north. The first one was the Shar Tadi, that was a gate in the wall of the Har HaBayis, and then another two were the Beis HaMoked and the Beis HaNitzot that we've already learned about that were off of the Azara. And perhaps the fourth one, suggests the Rush, is the Lishkas HaParochas, which we said before in the name of the Rishash. We don't know exactly its location. Perhaps it was on the northern part of the Beis HaMikdash. The four in the south, tells us the Rush, are the two Shari Chulda that were entrances from the Har HaBayis, and then the Shar HaDelek and the Shar HaMayim, which were entrances into the Azora. Continues the Pasuk, Ula Sufim, Shnayim Shnayim. The Rush explains La Sufim means that there were rooms that were added on to the Beis HaMikdash, Alpi Nevuah. And there were, the Gemara at this point thinks that there were four rooms. Why is it mentioned Shnaim Shnaim, dividing it up two by two? Because they were built at different periods of time, first two and then another two. And the Gemara thinks that all four of these rooms had another Levi. The Gemara will change its mind, but that's how the Gemara understands the Pasuk at this point. Then the Pasuk in Divrei Hayom continues, Leparbor, to the isolated place outside, which refers to the western part of the Har HaBayis, which was not frequented by many people, Lamarav to the west, Arba LaMesila. At the end, the Mesila means the end, there are four. Why? Because there were two Levim at the corners of the western Har HaBayis, and there were two Levim at the western corners of the Azora. And then, finally, there is another Shnayim LaParbor. What this Parbor refers to, we will see momentarily. But if you count up the Cheshbon here, ask the Gemara now, you really have 24, because you have 6 to the Mizrach, 4 to the Tzofim, 4 to the Dorim, that's already 14. Then you have LaSufim Shnayim Shnayim, which the Gemara thinks is another 4, is 18. Then you have to the western part of the Har HaBayis and the Azora, you have another force, 22. And then you have the final Shnayim LaParbor. So that's 24. Amri Hanichav Dalet Hava. And we only want to add 21, of which, as we explained from the Rush, 3 of the 21 are overlapping with the 3 of the Kohanim, because, according to the Rush, there were Kohanim and Levim in these three places. So, but you're giving me a cheshbon of an additional 24. Amar Abaye, Hachi Kamar. This is what the pasuk means. Ula Sufim. Those rooms, really, they were Shnayim. There were only two rooms that we are speaking about where the Leviim were. Beis, in the parentheses, means that's the second Shnayim. The second Shnayim doesn't refer to the rooms. The second Shnayim refers to the guards. There were two guards for the two rooms. So you minus the amount of places where the Leviim were by two. Frag the Gemara, okay, but 24 minus 2 is 22. Akat the Esther Mitre Havi. It's still not 21. It's 22. The Gemara answers, no, it's 21. Heich the Parber. That which we said, the last two, Shnaim le Parber, that's referring to the one Levi who is behind the Kodesh HaKodashim. He cannot see any of the other Leviim because they are outside of the Azara on the Har Habayis guarding, and he's inside the Azara behind the Kodesh HaKodashim. So that one is really Chadhava. He was only one. It's not that there were two Leviim spread out behind the Kodesh HaKodashim. There was one main Levi that was guarding behind the Kodesh HaKodashim. But Vachrina, he did have another person, another Levi with him, but Safsa who does over Yosef Gabe, he only went to keep him company. Mishum Dekoya Broi, since the Levi, the main Levi who was guarding, was outside of everybody else, he couldn't see anyone from his vantage point. He was lonely, he was Bodod, like separated from everybody else. So to keep him company, they sent another Levi, but these two Levim were guarding in one spot together, and really there was one main Levi guarding, and the other was just keeping him company. And therefore, certainly in terms of the places, how many places there was only 21 places, of which three were shared with the Kohanim. My leparbor, what does it mean, the word parbor? Amar Rabba, Bar Rav Shila, Kamandi Amar Klapei Bar. The word parbor means facing the outside. In terms of the Levi behind the Kodesh HaKodashim, he was outside of all the other Levim who could see each other behind the Azara. He was inside of the Azara behind the Kodesh HaKodashim. He was alone. He couldn't see anyone. The Eboy, same in the Gemara, now gives a second Teretz. Olam Chav Dalet, Kiddich Siv. Really, it's 24. We're not going to give the Teretz, and there were only two rooms where there were Levim, and the one behind the Kodesh HaKodashim was really all in one place, and there was one main Levi, the other one was just keeping company. No, there were, like the pasuk says, the simple pshat, 24 places. But Tlosim and Nayu the Kohanim, there were three of those 24 places were the Kohanim. And then you're left with 21, and three of the 21 were shared with the three of the Kohanim. So when the Pasuk here is giving the number Chav Dalet, it's not the Chav Dalet of the Leviim, it's the Chav Dalet in total, going with the Rosh Pshat, three for the Kohanim, 18 for the Leviim, and three that the Leviim shared with the Kohanim. So counting that all up together, you will have a total number of 24. Three were only for the Kohanim, v'esrim v'chad the Leviim, and then there were 21 to the Leviim, of which three were shared with the Kohanim. Ask the Gemara, how could you say such a pshat? V'ahocha Leviim hu dechsev. Here it says in the pasuk Leviim, we're not talking about the Kohanim at all. Answers the Gemara, Rabbi Shua ben Levi. This will go like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. That Rabbi Shua ben Levi. But Chav Dalet Mekayim is Nikru Kohanim Levim. We find 24 places that the Kohanim are called Levim. And this is one example. The Pasuk says, Kohanim HaLevim B'nei Tzadik. The Kohanim who were Levim, the sons of Tzadik. Tzadik was really a Kohen. But since all Kohanim come from Shevet Levi, therefore it's proper to call Kohanim Levim as well. The Rabbeinu Gershom says that the Chiddush in our Gemara is that although we're not referring to them as Kohanim, as we do by B'nei Tzadik, we're saying Kohanim and we're also calling them the Levim. Here, we're not even mentioning that they're Kohanim. We're saying they're only Levim. And yet, although 21 of these 24 were Levim, The other three were Kohanim, who we are calling Leviim, and the Chiddush is, even though there's no word Kohanim with Leviim, as there is by Bnei Tzedek, still we're referring to the Kohanim in this case and not to the Leviim. You can find an excellent chart of all the places where the Leviim and Kohanim guarded in the Beis HaMikdash in the Art Scroll on 27a2. The Gemara now goes back to understand the Mishnah in Midos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, which we mentioned before. Chamisha, there were five Leviim al Chamisha Sharei Harabais, at the five entrances to the Harabais. Ve'arbo, there were four Leviim al Arbo Pinoisim, on the four corners of the Harabais. Where were they located? Mitoichai, inside the walls of the Harabais. However, Hey al Hey Sharei Azor, there were five Leviim at the five gates that entered into the Azara, Va'arba, and there were four Leviim, Al-Arba Pinoisav, on the four corners, Mibachutz, just like by the Harabayis, both concerning the gates and concerning the corners, it was inside the Harabayis, so too, by the Azara, the gates and the corners, it was outside of the Azara. Both were outside. And on this, the Gemara asks, Maishna Harabayis Davdinu Mitoichai, Maishna Azorah Davdinu Mibachutz. Why, in fact, by the Harabayis are the corners and the gates, the Leviim, are standing inside the wall of the Harabayis? And why is it that by the Azorah, just the opposite, they are both the corners and the gates, the Leviim are standing outside of the Azorah? Amri, I'll tell you, Harabayis, by the Harabayis, the Itama, if the Levi gets tired, oh boy, Mesav, he wants to sit down, Yosef, he's permitted to sit down. So Amri, and we talk, so we tell him, don't stand outside the Harabayis, come guard on the Harabayis. Because if you get tired, you can always rest. You could sit down. However, in the Azara, the Tama, if the Levi gets tired, Uboy the Mace, if he wants to sit down, Loiba Matsu Yosef, he's not allowed to sit down. Why not? Domer Mar, because we have learned, Ein Yeshiva Bazara, Elam Alchemist David Bilvad, that you're not allowed to sit in the Azara, only the Malach of Beis David. So therefore, Amri Mibachutz, we tell the Levi to guard outside the Azara in case he gets tired. To be able to sit down, because if he's going to guard inside, he won't be able to sit down. Because the Pasuk says concerning the Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, Lamoid L'Shores, that you have to stand and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Beis HaMikdash. However, by David, we find in Shmuel Beis, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yud Ches, Vayavoy HaMelech David, Vayeshev L'Vnei Hashem, that David came into the place where the Aron was, and he sat in front of Hashem. So Memela, we see that it's only by a Melech Beis David that he's allowed to sit down. Amar, we learned before, Hey al Hey Shari Azara, that there were five Leviim at the five gates of the Azara. Ask the Gemara, Hey Sharim, who da Havib Azara? There were only five gates in the Azara. For a minute, I'll ask you a steer on this. Zayin Sharim Hayub Azara. There were seven gates leading into the Azara. Gimel Betzofen, there were three in the northern part of the Azara. As we've already mentioned, there was the Shar HaNitzutz, and then the Shar HaKorban, and the Beis HaMoked. There were Gimel Bedorim, those were the Shar HaDelek, Shar HaKorban, and the Shar HaMayim. And Ve'echad B'Mizrach, and there was one, the Shar HaNikner, in the east. So you have a total of seven. So we have two terutzim, one of Abaya and one of Rav. Amar Abaya, Trei Minayu Leitzrichi Shimmer. Two of these seven do not need Shimmer. And the Rosh explains, these are the Shar HaKorban in the north and the Shar HaKorban in the south. Because in the north, it is flanked on one side by the Shar HaNitzutz and on the other side by the Beis HaMoked. So they already have guards of the Leviim there, so they can look out for the middle Shar HaKorban. And on the south, the Shar HaKorban is flanked by the Shar HaDelek and the Shar HaMayim. So again, the Leviim from these two Shorim can look after the Shar HaKorban that's in the middle. And therefore, although there were seven Shorim, there's only five where the Leviim had Shimmer. Rava gives a different teretz. Tanoihi. We don't have to say that we're only counting five of the seven, but actually it's a machlokes tanoim. The sanya we learned in the brisa, ein parsum yud gimel gizborin. You can't have in the base of Mikdash less than 13 managers. Umi zayin amrochlin and seven supervisors. The word amrochlin comes from either amar kol. He says everything. And as this is the boss, he supervises the managers. Amar kol, he has the last word on anything. When he says something, that's everything. He has the final word. Or, the Aruch said, it's mar kol. He's the master of everything. He's the boss. The final word on everything. So, you have to have, in the Beis HaMikdash, not less than seven amrochlin. Rav Nosson says, a reason. Ein parsum yud gimel gizborim, kineged yud gimel shorim. You can't have less than 13 managers, because each one will manage one of the gates that was in both the Har HaBayis and the Azora together. There were 13 gates, and each manager took care of the area around his gate. Dal Chamisha the Har HaBayis, so subtract from the 13 the five that were in the walls of the Har HaBayis. Pashaluhu Tamnina the Azara, so you have left eight for the Azara. Alma, what do we see? That Rav Nosson holds, Ikatana to Amar Tamnihave. There's a Tana Rav Nosson holds that there were in fact eight, not seven. He holds there were eight. There's a Tana that says there were seven, like we learned before. So now that we have two Tanoim, one holds seven, one holds eight, it's not far-fetched to say, says Rava, that Ve'ikatana Damar Chamishava. He argues on both of them. He says there were only five. So we don't have to say, like Abaya said, that there were really seven, but there was only five because the two Shari Korban on the north and the south did not require Shmira. We could say every gate required Shmira. But the question is, how many gates there were? And since we see Rav Nosson holds there weren't seven, there was one more, there was eight. So we could say the Tana here who holds there were only five, he disagrees with both Rav Nosson and the other Tana. And we have three opinions. Either there were eight gates to the Azara, seven gates to Azara, or perhaps only five gates to the Azara. The Gemara explains the next part of the Mishnah. Loi hayishen bebigdei kodesh. They would not sleep in the holy begodim, but rather they would take it off and fold it up and put it under their heads. So the Gemara deduces shinohu deloi. The only prohibition is to sleep in their clothing. Avol hiluch mahalchem, but to take a casual walk that has nothing to do with the avoda or any other activity in these clothing in the big day kodesh, they would be allowed to. Shamat mina big day kohuna nitnuli hanispan lechoru. We would have a raya from here that you're allowed to have pleasure from the big day kohuna, even though that they were bought with the money of hegdish and they themselves belong to hegdish. But there still is no din me'ila if the kayin keeps these begotim on after the avoda. Immediately for him, the second that he finished avoda, to take it off, that would be impossible. The Gemara tells us that le'nitnatar le'malach ha'shores, a person's not an angel. So we have to say that a t'nai was made in the kedusha of these big day kodesh, that since the first second afterwards is certainly mutter, we've extended that, and the Meforshim explain, as long as the Kohen is on the Har HaBayis, even though he's finished the Avoda, he is not over Amila if he does any activity in those begadim. If he leaves the Har HaBayis, then of course it would be oster to have Hanah from the Big Day Kodesh, then there would be a Din Me'ila. But as long as he's on the Har HaBayis, a condition was made when they were Mekadesh, these Big Day Kodesh, that he's permitted to do a non-Hegdish Avoda in these begadim. If so, why is Shina prohibited? So the Meforshim give various roots him, either because he may see Keri at night, or he may pass wind in his sleep. Or the Ravid says because Shina, sleeping in Big Day Kodesh in general, is a bezoyin to the begotim. And therefore, although the Gemara at this point is of the opinion that on the Har HaBayis, a Kohen would be permitted to have pleasure from the Big Day Kohana, it would still be usur to sleep for the various reasons that we've just mentioned. So the Gemara says, we have no Raya. Amri, I'll tell you, who adinda filihiluch namilai. Really, it's usur to have Hano from the Bigdei Kodesh even on the Har Habayis once the Avoda is completed. V'hodik tani lo hayishenu. So why does the Mishnah just say they didn't sleep? As the Rush points out, because the Chared is a very good diyuk. If in fact, even walking around with it casually is prohibited, or doing any other activity in the Begadim is prohibited, then the Mishnah should have stated that immediately after the Avoda, the Kayin has to take off the Bigdei Kodesh. The Mishnah doesn't say that. The Mishnah just says sleep is prohibited. So how do you tell me now that Hilich is also prohibited? So why did he just say sleep? Mishum de boil Mishnah Seifa. He wants to tell you a Chiddush in the Seifa of the Mishnah concerning sleep. And that's why he mentioned sleep at the beginning of the Mishnah as well. Because it says in the Sefer, Ella, the Bach puts in the word, Hoyu, Poishtin, Makaplam, Manichem, Maishon, Tachas, Rishem. They would take off the Bigdei Kodesh and fold it up when they were ready to go to sleep. And then they would sleep with it under their heads. So since he wants to tell you this Chiddush, that they could put it under their heads, Tani Reisha Nami, Loya Yishem. That's why he gave a case that they didn't sleep with it, they only put it under their heads. But that was permitted. But really, he would have told you also that Hiluch is prohibited. So the Gemara says, how could you say such a pshat? Ha'guf akasha. You're trying to tell me now that really there is no heter on the Har Habayis once the Avoda is completed for the Kayin to wear the Begadim and have Hanah from them. And he's telling you Yishenim because of the Chiddush, but that Chiddush itself proves to you that Bigdei Kohana Nitnu Lahanes Behem, because it says you can put it under your head. And then you're using it like a pillow. You're having a gnaw from it. So the Gemara says, Eima neged Rishem. The word tachas doesn't mean tachas, but rather it should state the word neged. Next etzel, there, your head. And there's a chiddush that you could even put it next to your head. And we'll see the chiddush from the next din of Rapapa. Am Rapapa, Shmami no. If you tell me that the Kayin is allowed to put his Bigdei Kodesh next to his head while he's sleeping, although he's not allowed to put it under his head because then he'll be having direct Hanah from the Bigdei Kodesh, Shmami no. From here I can deduce that Tvilin Minatzad Shuriyin, that if a person at night, when he's sleeping, puts his tefillin next to his head, it's permitted. V'loi chashin, here's the chiddush, dilma migneder v'nafalai. We're now worried that maybe in his sleep he'll roll over and he'll fall on his tefillin. As the Mephoreshim explained, if you're telling me that even Hanah from Hegdish, which you're saying is usur, and there would be a din mila, din deraisa, and yet you allow to kayin to put the Bigdei Kodesh next to him, and we're not worried that maybe he'll roll over and be running into the Raisa. So certainly by tefillin to put it next to your head, where if he rolls over and he falls on his tefillin, it's just a bizoyan to the tefillin, which is an issur derabbanan. If the issur deraisa you're not worried about and you let him do it, then certainly you're allowed to put the tefillin next to your head while you're sleeping, and we're not worried maybe you're going to roll over. And that's the chiddush of Shena, and that's why the whole Mishnah is speaking about sleeping. But Hua Din the Gemara says that Hiluch or any other activity in the Bigdei Kodesh would be prohibited as well, because Aser Lahanes Bem, you cannot have a secular, mundane Hanah from the Bigdei Kodesh. You can only do Avoda with them. Now the Gemara wants to bring a proof that Tachas Rosheim means actually Neged, Eitzel Rosheim. Hachinam Mistavra, this also makes sense. I'll bring you a proof, the Keneged Rosheim, that Tachas means next to their heads, but not under their heads. The Amra Tachas Rosheim, if you're going to say it literally means under their heads, I have a different problem here. I have a Shatnas problem. Nehe Dinitnu Lahanes Ben, even if we'll say that you could have Hanah from the Bigdei Kodesh after the Avoda when you're on the Har Habayis, but Tevek Lemishum Isur the Klayim. What about the Isur of Klayim? Because one of the Begadim of the Kayin was the Avnei, the belt, and the belt contained in it linen and wool. So Bishas Avoda, there was a special exemption, a special dispensation for him to wear the Klayim. But after the Avoda, it's certainly Oster for him to wear Shatnas. And therefore, he would not be allowed to put it under his head because of the Isser of Shatnas. So it must be that Tachas means Neged Eitzel. So the Gemara on Chav Zayin Amid Beis says, "Ha nichle man di amar avnei teshal kain gadol loizehu avnei teshal kain hedget." It's good, according to the man di amar, that says that the kain gadol's avnei that was certainly shatnez was not the same as the avnei of the kain hedget. By the way, the Kohen Gadol also on Yom Kippur wore the big day lavan, then his avnet did not have any shatnez in it. But we're speaking about the avnet of the Kohen Gadol the rest of the year. So the rest of the year, he certainly wore shatnez during the avodah, but there's a man d'yomer who says that the Kohen Hedyet's avnet was not made out of shatnez. It was not the same as the Kohen Gadol's avnet. So according to that man d'yomer, then if you hold that it's mutter to have anor from Big Day Kodesh after the avodah, it would be mutter to put the avnet under your head, because this man d'yomer holds that avnet does not have in it shatnez. Elo the man d'yomer avnet to shel kohen hedyet zehu avnet to shel kohen gadol. But according to the man d'yomer that says that during the whole year, the belt of the kohen hedyet was identical to the belt of the kohen gadol, and it did have shatnez in it. So ma'ik lemeimar. So what are you going to say? How could you say tachas? You have a problem of shatnez. And the Rishonim explained that you cannot answer, well, maybe our mission is going like that man d'yomer that says there was no shatnez in the Kohen Hedyet's avnet because his avnet was not identical to the Kohen Gadol's avnet, because we want to make a mission that it comes out according to everybody. It comes out according to the man d'yomer who holds that there was shatnez in the avnet of the Kohen Hedyet. So l'chayr, you have a raya that tachas must mean next to the Kohen's head and not under his head. V'chitem, if you're going to say, no, I have no raya, because klayim ba'aliyu levishu, the usher, klayim is only usher to put it on yourself or to wear it. Aval meimach tuse, but to fold it under yourself, shaper dummy, that's okay. Not true. V'atanya, we learned in the brisa, lo yala alecha. It says in the Torah, you're not allowed to bring shatnez on top of you, but you could spread it underneath you. That's midraisa. Aval amru chacham, the chacham said, oster lasiskein, you're not allowed to do it. Shema tichrach nima achas, I'm sorry, because maybe one thread will wrap itself around your flesh. So there's an instrument of Rabbanon to do it. V'chi teimet mafsik midi. And if you're going to tell me that you spread something over the belt, and therefore there was a separation, and then there's no problem. V'amar Rab Shimon, Amar Rab Yishu ben Levi, Amar Rab Yossi ben Shaul, Mishum, Kehila Kadisha Shub Rishlaim, he said in the name of the holy congregation in Yerushalayim, Afilu Eser Matzois, even 10 spreads, Zu al Gav Zu, one on top of the other, Uklaim Tachteim, and underneath the 10 spreads there is klayim oshelishnaleh, as part of this gzeira that maybe a nima of shatnez will go on top of you and you'll be over on having hanah from shatnez and wearing shatnez. Included in that is even if the shatnez is under 10 spreads, midrabbanan, they prohibited, they made a loy plug and they said it's osur. So therefore, if the avnet of the Kohen Hedyet is identical to the Kohen Gadol's avnet, it has shatnez in it, how could you put it under your head? Elishmamina, the Bach puts in the Chof, kineged reshein. So we see that it's tachas doesn't mean tachas. Tachas must mean next to your head, but not under your head. And huadin l'inyin, having hanah from hegdish, the big day hegdish, it must mean that you're not allowed to, and you put it next to your head. But then, as the Mefarsh explains, v'iboy yisema, ba'ois and shembem klaim, you don't have a raya, because maybe it's mutter to have anor from Big Day Hegdish, and you could put it under your head. Ah, you're asking me, Akasha, shatnez proves that it can't be under your head, it has to be next to your head, it's no raya, because maybe the garments that he put under his head, we're speaking about all the other begotim, the three begotim of the Kayin Hedget, that did not have shatnez in them. And it's not referring to the belt. Einachanami, the belt was takasher. So from here, you have no raya, says the Gemara, because maybe you're only allowed to put under your head the other three begotim that definitely did not have shatnez in them. It's interesting that the Rush, which is found in Daf Chaf Ches Amid Aleph, says that the begotim that didn't have klayim were mitznefes uksones, the hat of the Kohen, and the tunic of the Kohen. He doesn't mention the Michnasayim. However, if we look here on the Rabbeinu Gershom on Daf Chav Zayin Amid Beis, he says it includes the Michnasayim because he says, Ba'oisen shar big dekuna she'ein b'em klayim chutz min ha'avnei. The only exception, the only one that had shatnez was the avnei, the belt. All the other three begotim did not have shatnez, and that's what he put under his head. Continues the Gemara, Rav Ashi Amar. Rav Ashi also agrees that there's no proof from Shatnez that the Kohanim did not put the Begadim under their head, and it could be that they even put the Avnet under the head. What about the problem of putting Midrabbanan, it's also to put Shatnez under your head because maybe Shema Tichrich Nima Achas Albasari, maybe one thread will wrap around your flesh. So on that, Rav Ashi answers, Big Day Kohuna, Kushin Hain. The Big Day Kohuna are hard. And if they're hard, there's no Isser. Tosfos in Yuma speaks out that, of course, there's an Isser Midaraisa to wear hard Shatnez Begadim as well, and to cover yourself with hard Shatnez Begadim. But the Gemara here, is Rav Ashi is referring to the Isser D'Rabbanan. The Rabbanan said that you cannot lie on Shatnez because maybe a thread will wrap around your skin, but that's only by soft threads. However, the Big Day Kohuna were kashin, they were hard, and therefore, for this Isser D'Rabbanan, if it's hard and there's no shash that it will wrap around, then it is permitted. Why were the Big Day Kohuna kashin? All the begadim were made from six threads that were wound together to make one thread, and in the case of the avnet, it was made from four different substances. It was made from linen, it was made from tchelis, blue wool, argom and crimson, and telashani, bright red wool. And these four items, each one had six threads wrapped around, and then those six threads became like a super thread of 24 threads, and therefore the avnet was certainly very hard, and therefore if it was put under the heads of the Kohanim, there was no problem with the Isser D'Rabbanan of laying upon them. And then the Gemara brings a proof to this Yisod, the Amar of Hunna B'Rei Rav Yeshua, Ha Namta, this felt mattress, gamda, which is hard, the narshan, which comes from a place narshan, sharya, it's permitted to lie on it, because since it's hard, therefore there's no chash of tichrach nima achas al besori. The next Gemara, which is in parentheses, the Masoret Hashas and Ois Dalet says loy garsin in law, and we should be garsed in the Gemara in Yuma daf samach tes. Since it is Nageya to our sugi here, we will learn it briefly, even though it's in the parentheses. Let's begin the Gemara. Toshma, Big Day Kohuna Hayoytze Ben Limedina Usser. The Gemara wants to bring a proof to this question, whether Big Day Kohuna Shaloi B'Shas Avoida, the Kohen is allowed to have Hanah from it or not. They bring a raya from a brisa. The Big Day Kohuna in the Medina, it's Usser. It's Usser to go out of the Beis HaMikdash and the Har Bayis, but Ube Migdash, Bein B'Shas Avoida, Bein Shaloi B'Shas Avoida Mutter. But in the Migdash, it was in the Scottish, as we explained on a Tanai, that it is permitted when the Kohen is at least in the Mokoim of the Beis HaMikdash and the Har Bayis, that he does not have to remove his Begadim, even though he's not doing Avoida, and it is Mutter Ba'ana. And here the Brisa concludes, Nesha Big Day Kuna Nitnu Lahanis Bahen, because Big Day Kuna, one is allowed to have a Na, Shaloi B'Shas Avoida, Shmaimino. We see clearly from this Brisa the answer to our question in the Gemara above, whether Big Day Kuna, Shaloi B'Shas Avoida, are Mutter Bahana or not. But now our Gemara is quoting that Gemara, which we find in Yuma Dav Samach Tes, because the Gemara there challenges this Brisa. Medina loy, you're telling me in the Medina it's usser? Vatanya, we learned in a brisa. Now here, the way our Gemara has it, it says b'chof aleph boy yom har grizim. On the 21st day is the holiday of har grizim. This is a brisa found in Megillas Tainus, where it lists the various yom tovim where hesped is forbidden. And in Masechta Yumah Daf Samach Tes Aleph, it says, Be'esrim v'chamisha b'tevis it's not the 21st day, but rather there it says it's the 25th day of Tevis, and we'll read from that Gemara, which our Gemara Bekitzer alludes to. Yoim Har Grizim Hu, this is the day called Yoim Har Grizim, Deloyla Mispid, don't make a hesped on that day. Why? Because Yom Shabikish Kusim is based on the Alexandrus Mugdin Lachrivoy. The Kusim, who lived on Har Grizim and served and avoided there on Har Grizim, they asked Alexander Mugdon to have permission to destroy the base of Megdish. V'nasan l'mershus, it says on the side of the Gemara, and Alexander gave them permission to destroy the base of Megdish. Bo voidu Shimon HaTzadik, they notified Shimon HaTzadik. Ma'as, so what did he do? Lovash big day kuna. He put on big day kuna. V'nisatav, and he wrapped himself in the big day kuna. He was a kayin. He put on the big day kuna. And from the Choshev representatives of Klal Yisrael were with him. They had torches of fire in their hands. As Alexander was approaching with his men, Shimon HaTzadik went out in the Big Day Kuna to approach Alexander. Ad she'ol amud ha'shachar, until the morning star came up, kimin she'ol amud ha'shachar, amr lahem mi'alo. So Alexander said to his men, who's coming to approach us? Amr loy, they said to him, Yehudim shemordibach, the Jews who rebelled against you. Kimin she'gil antiparis, when they came to this place, zor chachama, the sun was shining, upogu zebazah, they reached each other. Kimin she'rol ha'shem atzag, when Alexander saw the countenance of Shimon HaTzadik, Yard Mir Kaftoi. He went down from his chariot. Vishtach Velofanov, he bowed down to Shimon HaTzadik. Amru Loi, his men said to him, Melech Gadol Kamoyscha, a great king like you, Yishtach Vel Yehudi Zeh, you bow down to this Jew? Amar Lahem, he responded, Demus de Yukni Shozem and Atzeches Lofanov, base Milchamti. Whenever I go to war, I see in front of me an image of this very person, and he is helping me to win and be victorious in battle. So, of course, I'm going to now bow down to him. Amar Lahem, so Alexander said to Shimon HaTzadik and his men, Lama Basim, why did you come? Amru, they said, Efshir by Yishim Espalim by Alech of Al-Machuscha, the house, the base of Migdash, where we daven for you and for the security and safety and success of your kingdom, Shalai Techarev, that it should not be destroyed, Yitaucha, Oivdei Kechav Lachrivoi, so the Goyim will make you heir and decide to destroy it. This is for your benefit. We're helping you. We're praying for you, for your success. Who are the ones who are trying to destroy your temple where you are praying for me? These kusim who are standing in front of you. They're given over to you, and the Gemara goes on to relate there in Yuma Samachtes how Klal Yisrael destroyed the Kusim at that time. But the Gemara there in Yuma, and so too here in Masechta Tamid, the Gemara picks up the question and answers that the Gemara in Yuma has about Big Day Kuna. What's Negeya to us is the question that we just said, that B'Medina, it's us to go out with the Big Day Kuna. You have to take it off. The Kayan cannot use it for his own purposes when he goes out into the Medina. And here we see in the Gemara in Yuma Samachtas that Shimon HaTzadik used it for his own purposes in the Medina, outside of the base of Migdash. So the Gemara says, and now we continue. Three lines before the end of the parentheses, Ibo Yisema, Ru'uyin Heim LeBig Day Kuna. It wasn't really Big Day Kuna. It was clothing that would have been worthy to be Big Day Kuna. They were in the same chashivas as Big Day Kuna. Ibo Yisema, or I can give you a different teretz, it was really the Big Day Kuna. How could Shimon HaTzadik put it on? Aces, losses, Lashem, Eferesar, Secho. It's a time to do for Hashem, break his Torah. In other words, because of the Pekuach Nefesh, the possibility of destroying the Beis HaMikdash and threat of to the life of Klal Yisrael, therefore, Shimon HaTzadik broke a halach in the Torah in order to preserve the Torah. And now the Gemara continues with explaining the next part of the Mishnah. Ira keri be'echad mehen. If one of the Kohanim had keri, so it says he went down through the tunnel to the base of Tefillah, and then he was Toivel. Nesai le Rabbi Eichanan. This Mishnah is a proof to Rabbi Eichanan. And the Gemara now is going to quote two statements of Rabbi Eichanan, and we are only bringing a proof to the first statement. We bring the second statement because Rabbi Eichanan used to say these two halachas, which are related one to another, he would say them together. What are the two halachas? Nesai le Rabbi Eichanan d'amar, mechilo islein iskachu. The subterranean tunnels under the base of Mikdash did not have Kedusha. Ubal Keri Mishtaleh Chutzushtei Machnes. And a Bal Keri goes outside of two Machnes. We know, just like in the Mishkan, had three different Machnes, the Machne Shechina, the Machne Levi, and the Machne Yisrael. So too, in the base of Mikdash, there were three Machnos. The Machne Shechina was the base of Mikdash itself. The Machne Levi was the Har HaBayis, and the Yerushalayim was the Machne Yisrael. A Metzora was sent out of all three Machnas. A Zov was sent out of the Beis HaMikdash and the Har HaBayis of two Machnos. And a Tomei Meis was sent out of the Beis HaMikdash, but was Mutter on the Har HaBayis. Rabbi Yochanan says the second halacha, that a Baal Keri is Mishtaleh Chutz L'Shnei Machnos. He's sent out, he's like a Zov, he's sent out of the first two Machnos. The first halacha that he says is that the mechilois, the subterranean tunnels under and the rooms under the base of Migdash, were not niskadesh. Now, we learned earlier from Rabbeinu Tam that Rabbeinu Tam said, he asked the question on our Mishnah, on Daf, Chof, Vov, Amid Aleph, that the Mishnah says that after he went to the mikveh, he came up and he sat with his other brothers, the Kohanim. And we asked the question there, even though they were sleeping and sitting in the part of the Beis HaMoked that was not in the Azor, it was in the Har HaBayis, and where it's permitted to sit and to sleep. But since he is a Tful Yom, he does not have yet a hair of Shemesh, how could he join his other Kohanim? Asked Rabbeinu Tam, Midrabban and a Tful Yom is Osir, till he has hair of Shemesh, till the night time, he's Osir Midrabbanon to be on the Har HaBayis. And the Rabbeinu Tam answered that that's only when he's a Tful Yom to enter the Har HaBayis. But in this case, where he's already on the Har HaBayis, he's allowed to remain there. That's what the Rabbeinu Tam answered. But this L'char will not help us here. Here we're discussing that when he became a Baal Keri, he's allowed to go under into the tunnel to the mikveh, which is under the base of Migdash. So L'chaira, it would have Kedusha, at least of the Har HaBayis. It was on the Har HaBayis. And if so, how is he allowed to do that? Right when he became a Baal Keri, he should have to leave both the Beis HaMikdash and the Har HaBayis. How do we allow him to as a Baal Keri? He's not a Tful Yom yet. He's a Baal Keri. How is he allowed to go into the Har HaBayis, to the mikveh? So the answer is that Rabbi Yochanan holds, where was the entrance to this tunnel? The entrance was, as we spoke out in another shir, it was in the Lishkas Beis HaMoked. And that Lishkas Beis HaMoked, which was one of the four Lishkois in the Beis HaMoked, its opening was to the Har HaBayis. So Eina Chanami, if the Mefarish here explains that Eina Chanami, if it's an opening to the Azora, which is subterranean, under the Azora, that would have Kedusha's Azora. And a Baal Keri would not be allowed there. But here Rabbi Yochanan says, it went from the entrance of the Lishkas Beis HaMoked down to the Beis HaTfila. That was all under the Har HaBayis. And the entrance was also an entrance to the Har HaBayis and not to the Azara. Says the Mefarish that area was not Niskadish at all. That's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. So the reason he's allowed as a Baal Keri to go to the mikveh is because he's leaving the Har HaBayis, which is the Beis HaMoked where he was sleeping, and he's going to a subterranean tunnel under the Har HaBayis, not under the Azara. That has no Kedusha at all. And therefore, it doesn't even have Kedusha of Har HaBayis. And therefore, he's allowed to go to the mikveh there. After the mikveh, he's allowed to come back to the Beis HaMoked. And there, the Rabbeinu Tam says, we don't require him to leave, since the Isser of Tful Yom is only an Isser Midrabbanan in the Har HaBayis. We allow him to remain there until the morning when he can leave to go home. So from our Mishnah that we allow him to use the base of tefillah is a raya that there's no kedusha whatsoever, so learns the Mefarish in the Mechilos, which are under the Har Habayis. Continues the Gemara to explain the next part of the Mishnah. There were lamps, there were candles that lit the way as he went through the tunnel, and then the Mishnah concluded that there was also next to the place of Tefillah a Beis HaKise, Shel Kavod, and the Mishnah says, Zeh Yekvaydai, Matzei Novi found it closed, B'yaduah She'ein Sham Adam, there's a person there, Pasuach open, B'yaduah She'ein Sham Adam. And now the Gemara is going to mention several halachas concerning the Beis HaKise. First, it begins with a story. Rav Safra of Yosef Beis HaKise, he was sitting in the Beis HaKise, also Rav Abba Nachrle. So Rav Abba snorted. He made a sound. The Mefarsh explains that obviously here it did not have a closed door. So when it had an open door, they had a different system. If it's a closed door, the Mishnah says, if it was closed, you knew somebody was there. And you didn't go in. You didn't even ask, is anyone there? You knew that someone was there. If the door was open, then it was available. If there was no door and you wanted to enter into the back of the Beis HaKise, so the system was that you would snort. You wouldn't talk. It's not sneeze to talk in the Beis HaKise, but you would snort and the other person would snort back. And then you'd know that someone's there and then you wouldn't enter. What happened here, however, instead of snorting back, Rav Safra said to Rav Abba, Omar Lay Omar, come in. So he went in, busted Nafik after he went out. Omar Lay Rav Abba, Rav Abba said to Rav Safra, Ad kan loisa likta l'seir, you never traveled to Seir. And there they were very not sneistic in the Beis HaKise, but gamarta mili to Seir, you acted like them improperly. Why? Because lav hachitnan, didn't we learn in our Mishnah, matzai no, b'yadui she'ei shamadam. If it was closed, you knew somebody was there. And lememra, which is to say, d'loimi boile lemeo, that you're not supposed to go in. And so you should not have told me to go in. And yet you invited me in. Rashi in Bracha says that he was trying to say you shouldn't have said anything. The proper thing is, even in your situation, which had no door, as we mentioned before, you should have snorted back, and I would have known not to enter. And it's, that's how Rashi learns. Here, the Gemara's Mashma, you shouldn't have told me to come in. We see from that mission, if it's closed, nobody else goes in. But Rav Safra, how could Rav Safra, in fact, do this? Savar Dilma Mistokanu. He thought that perhaps Rav Abba is in danger. Kedisani, we learned in a Breiser. Rav Shimon Gamli Loimer. Amud HaChayzer. If somebody has a bowel movement, which he forces back, and he doesn't use the facilities, maybe it's Adam LiDehadraikin. That could bring a person to the sickness of dropsy. Silon HaChayzer. If he doesn't empty his bladder, he doesn't urinate, and he holds back his urine, then maybe suddenly they yirok, and then it brings a person to jaundice, and that's why he told them to come in. Amalei Rav said l'chia b'rei to his son l'chia. V'chein amalei Rav Funa l'rabba b'rei. Rav Funa said to his son Rabba, chashich tikin. When it's dark at night, tikin nafshach. Then you should take care of your needs, your bodily functions. V'kadam tikin nafshach. And in the morning, early in the morning, when people are not around, both in the darkness of night and in the early morning, you should take care of your needs. That you won't have to, if it's in broad daylight, then you're going to have to go deep into the forest, and therefore it's more practical that you'll be able to go closer to the yishuv by doing it early in the morning or late at night. And then another halacha, toivigali, when you sit down in the Beis HaKise, only then reveal yourself. And when you get up, first kasi, cover yourself, evikum, and then get up. And now he tells him a halacha concerning when somebody drinks. When you drink from a cup, shtoifish asi, first rinse the cup and then drink, because maybe the person before you did not rinse the cup and he drank from it. And then when you finish drinking, shtoif, be considerate of the next person, rinse out your glass, va'achis, and put it down. Ugshata shoysamayim, when you're drinking water, shvaich mehen, first spill some out from where you have drunk, va'achin ten l'tamidecha, and then give it to your student. Kedisani, like we learned in the Braisa, lo yishta adam mayim v'yitin l'tamidoy. A person should not drink water and give it to his Talmud, elim kain shavch mehen, unless he spilled something out. Umayisit is a story, ba'achat shoshasamayim, someone who drank water, va'loy shavch mehen, and he did not spills some out from where he drank before, he gave it to his Talmud. V'nasal Talmud, and he gave it to his Talmud. V'oitzei Talmud, and that Talmud is the Nisoya. He was pedantic. He was squeamish. And he didn't want to spill out the water in front of his Rebbe. He thought that's chutzpahdik. And on the other end, he didn't want to drink. So he didn't. He just took the cup and he didn't do anything. V'loi ratzel lishtais, he didn't want to drink. Umeis betzama. And he was very thirsty, and he needed that drink, and he didn't take it, and he died. V'oitzei Shah Amru. At that time, they said, as a result of this story, La yishta adam mayim, a person should not drink water, v'itin l'talmid yalim kem shafach man, unless he has first spilled some of it out, and then give it to your Talmud. Ravashi Amar, Hilka chai talmuda, this Talmud, the shafach kami Rebbe, if he did spill it out in front of his Rebbe, lesbe mishum apikursa. This is another lesson to be learned from that story. Not only should you spill out some water in front of your Talmud, but in case you didn't spill it out and the Talmud spilled it out, don't consider it apikursa, don't consider it chutzpah on his part, because he's doing it because he is squeamish, he's an itzdenis, and he won't be able to stand the idea of drinking from where you drank, and that's not chutzpah if he will spill it out. And we see, if he didn't spill it out, what danger there was that in fact one of the Talmidim died in thirst. Call mili, anything that you eat which causes saliva, loy sif loy ba'api rabach, swallow the saliva and don't spit it out in front of your Rebbe, because that's in fact chutzpah. But bar, there's two exceptions, mikra, from squash, vidais and porridge, that if, when you eat these things and it causes you a lot of saliva and you don't spit it out, the kipsila shalever dom, it's like swallowing a rod of lead. It's very dangerous, and therefore these are the two exceptions where there's no chutzpah if you will spit it out in front of your Rebbe.